If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Hey, dude.
Hey, welcome.
Welcome back. Okay, we just finished 103.
Yep. Where?
203. Yep, we just finished 203. Where a shitload happens.
This is not a beer. You're gonna hear a sound, but it's actually.
It should be a beer. Oh, because we added something to our season 2 drinking game, which was.
Oh, we did.
Drink every time there's a train. And we have no guest this week, partly
yes
because our I'm gonna do something stupid and cheesy. Our real guest this week is Lance.
Okay,
I have so many Lance questions.
No,
I want to talk to you about Lance.
Not this episode. We got to get to the real Lance stuff, right? He's only been introduced. Okay,
we're talking about some of Lance.
Okay.
So
that is an that's a. Just, it's interesting to watch how the DNA of the show has changed in season 2.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so much broader. I mean, before, yes, they had all these different things, and you saw these the motivations of each character and what was driving mm-hmm. them, and it was usually some kind of interocene prison
interocene,
going on.
By the way, very impressive word.
Thank you. And now it's, I mean, yes, you have Maricruz and you have C-Note's family and stuff, but like they're all out on these adventures in the world and they're going like this and you have very much have the sense that they're all going to be somehow coming back together. But it resembles season 1 in a lot of ways, but it's just such a broader backdrop, I guess.
And it's cool because the family motivation, I mean, it was always there for Sucre and C-Note, but to see, it feels so much more tangible. It feels like Michael got his family, right? Like he and Link are actually together.
Yes.
And there was a lot of Sucre and C-Note, which partly I love because I love the women in their lives and they're such amazing actors. Mm-hmm. But also no Lane. So there was no tweener. We still haven't seen Haywire since he pedaled off on a bike.
And no teabag.
And no teabag, which is really interesting.
Everybody's out in the wind.
Everybody's
man.
Out in the wind.
Also, can I just say, I just from a personal experience level, I remember getting to Dallas in such a hurry and pre-production. and then I'm like, wait a minute. I'm in one scene in the first 3 episodes. You're in 3.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of those.
I don't remember having all that downtime.
I do. Because
you're like, why did I hustle my ass down
well,
here?
Well, thankfully, I mean, unlike you, right? Like I was married by then and Josh came with me. And so we were just like, all right, well, let's get to know Dallas a little bit. And
right. Yeah.
And there was fun stuff. Did you ever go to Schlitterbahn? I just like saying
Excuse
it.
Me?
I know. Schlitterbahn. Schlitterbahn it's one of those places in like hill country in Texas where you can go rafting, but like it's the wildest thing. It's in New Braunfels, I believe. It's an entire river that comes out of the ground fully formed. So it's not like
what?
A little trickle that becomes a river. It's like there's a hole in the ground.
Whoa.
And a whole river comes out of it. So we went down and you just like, you park your car and you, they give you a tube and you tube down the river. And when, by the time you're done, you know, you've got your like little floating cooler of whatever you're bringing, and then they bus you back. It is so much fun. So that's basically what I was doing for the 7 days an episode I wasn't shooting. Wow. It was great. Wow. It was great.
I don't remember what I was doing.
For now, you want to Calistine? Should we Calistine and like get ourselves started?
Let's talk about the Calistine Index for episode 203, season 2, episode 3.
Which was called Scan, right?
Uh-huh.
So yeah, episode 203 was, it was titled Scan, premiered on September 4th, 2006. Directed by Brian Spicer, who did a killer job. And you,
great job.
You mentioned this when we were doing the rewatch. I actually don't have strong memories of him.
I don't either.
But he clearly is fantastic. It was written by Zach Estrin. And if this is your, dear listeners, first season listening to our podcast, briefly, Zach passed away quite unexpectedly a couple of years ago. We did an episode at the end of last season, which was called Remembering Zach Estrin. Inviting you to give it a listen. He was an extraordinary person and everybody had wonderful things to say about him.
Yes.
So this wonderful episode he wrote, which was just so fantastic. So episode delivered 9.29 live viewers in the 8 p.m. time slot. I think that's up from last week.
It seems yes.
Against reruns of Wife Swap on ABC and Two and a Half Men on CBS, not to be confused with Two and a Half Wife Swaps, which is a totally different show.
Also, right. Also, wife swapping your man. Swapping Two and a Half. So,
we'll work on that. We'll workshop it.
Yeah.
On NBC, they were doing original programming, and I didn't know this until I did this thing for this episode. And now I'm dying to see it. It's a special called Different Strokes Behind the Camera, the unauthorized story of Different Strokes.
Oh, no.
I mean, I don't know how that didn't win the night, but anyway.
To recap the show, Mahone zeroes in on Michael and Link's car, which was towed to a Chicago lot, but Michael gets there first. Unfortunately for the brothers, the backpack containing their fake IDs is not in the vehicle. Elsewhere, Sarah is released from the hospital, but that's not necessarily good news, especially after a difficult meeting with her father,
really
the governor.
Who's really a dick about it.
Yeah. She goes to rehab, where Kellerman introduces himself under a different name. Lance. Sucre and C-Note are determined to get to their loved ones no matter what, and Sucre learns that Mara Cruz is going to marry Hector in Vegas, as he says, as Sucre says, the city? Bellick and Geary go on a bounding honey business together, and they encounter Nika Volek, Michael's legal wife.
Small note, because the recap for this show was a little bit of a weird one. I had to do some editing. I don't think Sarah goes to rehab, right? I think she's at a meeting. I think she's living.
Yes, I think rehab is a misnomer.
A free life. Anyway, yes, not that it matters that much.
At a meeting. Yes.
Okay, pop culture at the time. On the very day this episode aired, September 4th, 2006, Beyonce released her second solo album titled B-Day, selling over 500,000 copies in the first week and debuting at number one on the U.S. Billboard 200. Naturally, the album would go on to win the Grammy for Best Contemporary R&B. Also on the same day, Steve Irwin, better known as the Crocodile Hunter, died from an injury from a stingray while filming a documentary in the Great Barrier Reef. I remember that like hit me hard.
In world events, a piece of good news, Katie Couric made history this week as the first female solo anchor of a network evening news broadcast on CBS. And in heartbreaking news, September 26th was the last known sighting of the black rhinoceros seen in Cameroon's northern province. The species was officially declared extinct in 2011. Now our intern is making us cry on camera.
Yeah, this.
That's really.
We have a lovely intern who puts these together
upsetting.
For us. And
okay.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking.
Okay, let's move on to less heartbreaking things. We'll be right back after this to talk about it.
Okay. So we're back.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos?
ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101 night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
I want to start talking about Lance. I know that there's not a lot of Lance in this episode. We just discover that he exists as a persona. But my question, like, because we've actually never talked about this, I don't think. Did anybody come to you and say, we're going to do a character for Kellerman? Do you have any thoughts? Or did they deliver Lance fully baked to you? What was your input level?
I don't remember I remember there being a lot of conversations about Kellerman stuff and about Kellerman motivational stuff. But in terms of like Owen Krevecki and Lance, in terms of characters and characterization, I remember there being no discussion about that whatsoever.
Like it showed up on the page and you're like, okay, I'm a...
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was a pre-season conversation or certainly pre-episode conversation either with Paul or Matt. Saying, "Hey, we're doing this fun thing where you're gonna track Sarah by pretending to be a civilian, and you're gonna befriend her." And I don't remember if Lance being gay was something I knew right away, or if it wasn't until it came up in the episode when I'm in your apartment where he's trying to put her at ease.
It felt like I remember shooting that scene, and I remember getting the script, going, "Oh," and it almost felt like Kellerman is laying the track in front of a moving train, and that maybe the writers kind of did too, that like they got into that moment and were like, he's got to be gay or this is really creepy,
right? Or it makes it too creepy.
Yeah.
And for the audience's perspective, it makes him, the more credible he seems as a normal human, the more threatening I think he becomes to Sarah, because you're like, oh, I'd fall for that.
Absolutely.
So the thing that I always, you know, in that Meisner way, the thing I was always thinking about as an actor, which I think would be effective for anybody even pretending to be another human and trying to fool somebody, is how's this making you feel? Like, what's going to make her the most comfortable? What's going to let her be comfortable enough to let me in and tell me things, let me into her apartment? So it was all about not being threatening, being friendly, and doing whatever I needed to do to, you know, be less Kellerman-y in a way.
Well, you know, I hadn't thought about this until we were just rewatching it, but in a lot of ways, the way you played Lance protected Sarah as a character, which is to say, like, if you do some big caricature that the audience is like, oh my God, and it's a bit of a groaner or an eye roll. Whoa, by the way, I think my camera just reframed itself.
Yeah, you could. There's a setting. I'll teach you afterwards.
Let's shut that off. That was so weird. It like zoomed in.
Mine was doing it originally. You got it. You'll.
Yeah. Please, camera, if you're AI, please don't do that again. Back out. Anyway, in making Lance so credible, you don't make Sarah look stupid. And there are so many traps for the characterization of Lance that then make it look like, what the hell is wrong with her?
Right. Yeah.
That I actually
makes her a fool.
Right. And you took care of both of us that way, which is kind of you know, not surprising, but also
It was great. Cool. It was a great. That whole season was so fun. I got to do some. It's really
God.
It's really following you around, man.
I sneezed and it backed up.
I liked it. I'm just picturing that there's a camera person there with just like.
This is my camera operator, Lance.
Yeah, and there's more Lance to talk about later, I think, because
For sure.
They let us go a little bit. I mean, it was so different than season one in that there was the scene work is you know, it went all the scenes I was playing went from a very clear like practical objective of getting a piece of information or killing someone or it's threatening someone to a kind of human interaction at a much lower, I don't want to say lower stakes way, but less fraught way, like subtler human interaction where there's not a power dynamic, right?
You have to use a totally different skill set to get what you want.
Yeah, and the goal is different, right? The goal is trust.
Yeah.
Right. Intimacy, however you want to put it.
Speaking of new characters,
yes.
We have two new characters in this episode. And as I was watching, I kind of remembered a little bit of Inside Baseball. They sort of show up out of nowhere. So both Lang and Wheeler were new characters.
Lang is Barbara Eve Harris?
Lang is Barbara Eve Harris, who a couple of years later, I produced and starred in a pilot for the CBC, which turned out not to be very good, but we hired Barbara to be my boss because she's Canadian and such a fantastic actor. And I really, really enjoyed working with her again. She's really wonderful. But I remember it being like one of those kind of crazy Hollywood, like for whatever reason, the two characters who had been kind of Mahone's numbers 2 and 3 in episodes 1 and 2, for whatever reason, I don't know if they were on a different show and not available or if the network didn't particularly like their reads or whatever it was. It was just like,
they're gone.
The episode, they're gone. And there's two more people. And I remember that happening. And I remember becoming aware, because this was early in my career, of just like, oh, a lot of people watch these dailies. A lot of people are weighing in on, I like this, I don't like that. I want more of this, I want less of that.
And as we've talked about how television has changed so much, there is kind of week-to-week input as opposed to shooting an entire season in a can kind of with minimal input. Like there was a kind of deciding on the go. That may still apply anyway. Yes, but a very interesting and with no explanation.
No, none. Just they're gone.
Yeah.
These two are back.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like I think I said it on the last episode, but just to have it said, like, Catherine Willis is a terrific actor. And so, you know, if it had to do with someone's opinion of her performance, that was a limited opinion about a limited performance.
Wait, who did Catherine Wheeler play?
Catherine played the agent that basically Felicia replaces. She was the female agent in the first two episodes.
Got it.
Who was a local.
Got it.
And I worked with her later on Long Road Home, and she's outstanding. Mm. But I remembered watching her in the first two episodes, and I was like, wait a minute. How long was she on the show? And then we got to this one. I was like, oh that's right.
Gone.
There were overnight executions, and you're just like, okay, well, now we're doing that.
Can we talk about the scene with your father, with Sarah and the governor?
R.I.P. John Heard.
R.I.P. John Heard.
We can.
Really wonderful actor and a very nice guy.
He's so good.
Did you enjoy working with him?
He's so good. I loved working with him. Because working with him was effortless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's the best kind of work where you're just like, well, as long as I know my lines, all I have to do is say them in the right order.
And the bad guy from Big.
And the bad guy from Big.
You guys have, that scene's really beautiful. And you, I mean, it must be so tempting, especially like, both on the page, but also then just the situation you underplayed it so beautifully. I would think there's certain pitfalls in scenes like that, which is, you know, you're not getting a lot of screen time. There's this emotional thing where you've been busted and you're confronting your father and you know all the backstory and you want to just do all the acting, all the backstorying. And then at the same time,
That's
I would
really
also
funny.
Say, You haven't worked in 4 months.
Right. It's like, you're so rusty.
You've moved. Well, even rusty, you're just like, you know, champing at the bit. It's like, let's go. Let me out of it. Put me in the game. Like, it's not like, oh, I have 4 scenes today. I have 3 scenes tomorrow. You're like, okay, I got all this time to gear up. And anyway, what I'm saying is that you fell into none of those traps. And also, the work is just beautiful. It's so subtle. And really what's great, and this show really, every show needs, but this show really needs, because there's, with these individual family storylines, there's all this story informing what's going on that we don't see, we only hear about. And so you just have to buy this parental dynamic, and you do. Mm-hmm. You get the, like, whatever, go to hell dad, the, like, he's going to let you rot there. Like, it's underplayed by both of you, which makes it land harder, because you think this is a conversation they've had in one way or another
over
for 20 years.
And over. You know, it's a lot of what you said is really interesting, especially at that point in my career. I don't remember what it was, but I remember seeing something, a few things on television just growing up, and just feeling nauseated at the amount of acting that was happening.
Sure.
And all that mattered to me was that I not do that. Not all that mattered to me, but, like, that was such a central driver. I remember several times in season 2, like, the direction that I would get when I got direction, which sometimes you were just, like, on a schedule and you didn't get any, was, can we see a little more? Mm-hmm. And I remember shooting this stuff in the early parts of season 2. And I remember internally just feeling really numb. Mm. You know what I mean? And I don't know how much of that was, I just moved to Dallas, I'm discovering that, like, Dallas and I do not get along well. Just feeling kind of weird and alienated generally, but also very, like, but it all felt like the character, just like that.
And you didn't push against it. I mean, I think the impressive part is,
what did I do?
The impressive thing there is that you just did it. You just feel so present, and John Hurt does too.
He's so good. I mean, he's so good. Like, you can be present with him. And I think that's the thing, like, a really good actor, right, is someone that you can be present with, because you don't have to be, like, to put it the other way, when someone isn't quite doing their work,
you have to self-generate, as we call it.
You've got to, like, imagine what a good performance would be like. Not to be rude, but that's,
no, it's true.
Nobody ever had to do that.
As Judith Light said, your job is not to act, it's to be.
Yeah. Listen, just listen.
Following
up.
Yes.
So we were talking during the rewatch. Dee Dee Franklin, who plays C-Note's daughter. The whole family is
wonderful.
Warrior actors. I mean, like, all of them are amazing. But we were wondering who she is and where she is now, because she would probably be nearly 30. Because this was 19 years ago now, right? So her name, I guess, is Helena Cleavorn. And at least according to IMDb, this is the only acting she ever did.
Huh.
Maybe she is now working as an aerospace engineer or something. I don't know. But if you know Helena Cleavorn, or if you are Helena Cleavorn and you know what became of her, or maybe she's a huge Broadway star and she, like, did nothing but theater ever since. But she was wonderful. Looked so much like the woman playing her mom.
Yeah.
It's wild. Great casting.
That family dynamic is really wonderful and just gets more and more so heartbreaking.
Good. Yeah. When he was like, are you keeping your appetite up?
Yeah, something's coming.
Something in the pit of my stomach was like, oh, this gets bad. I forgot all about this and it gets bad.
I wanted to mention that the nurse in the scene...
Oh, when I'm checking out, right?
When you're
checking out of the hospital, before they arrest
Allison
me.
Allison Tolman.
Yeah, who is she? Who's that?
She's a, like, triple Emmy nominated. She may have won for Fargo. She was, like, the female lead in Fargo season 1.
Amazing.
She.
Oh, that's her?
And then she was on.
Oh my God, she's amazing.
She was on that show. She was like the lead of a sitcom on CBS too. Steve Walters, who's another actor that I met on Prison Break season 2, who's part of this Dallas Theater Center kind of group of actors, and I think they had a company. I can't remember. Allison was part of it. Steve was part of it. A lot of the Friday Night Lights actors were part of it, like the locals.
Sure.
Derek Phillips, Stacey Orestano. And I met Allison, and then I remember her being like, I'm moving to Chicago. Can you
Was she local?
She was local to Dallas. I think they all went to SMU.
Oh, wow.
And then she moved to Chicago, and I think I helped her get an agent, and I think that agent ended up helping her get Fargo. So I just take full credit.
Yep.
I still haven't received any checks, but...
You deserve an Emmy for casting, actually. By the way, that's great. I think there's something... What's really cool when you're in the business long enough is you have those moments where you're like, oh, this person's for real. And every now and again, you've got the opportunity to like...
Yeah.
Like, it's my favorite thing on the directing side. I had an actor who was the third or fourth choice for the role. Other people weren't available. And I was, I'll be honest, nervous a little bit about them. And they gave such an amazing performance that, like, I called the casting director. And I was like, by the way, they crushed it. The network is thrilled. The studio is thrilled. And they were like, great, I'll take a note. I'll bring them in. You know, and it's like... That's cool because so many people have done that for us over the course of our lives. Did your light just fall down?
Second time today. Up.
up. You need sunglasses like Dom had in the car.
We talk about sunglasses. I love that you said that the car is the tattoo of season too, but also now the car,
Michael's
is
car.
Up, so now the car's
the car is now blown up. But the car had surprise body parts in it.
Can we talk about that? Like, how were they preserved? I guess they wouldn't need to be.
Well, no, because if they're too decomposed, I think the question is when did the body parts get put into them? Because they were sealed, but obviously he didn't leave them in there.
No, I think
three months ago.
It's like. Story-wise, it's like 3 months.
Right. But still, 3 months?
Yeah, it would decompose, but if you're going to blow it up anyway, there's going to be DNA.
Yeah, and I guess if it's... And I guess
bones,
if it's sealed... Yeah. I don't remember a scene. P.S. I have these moments all the time where we're doing this rewatch, and I'm like, you know, fans are probably going to be like, you dummy, it's three episodes... now that we find out that he whatever like so I apologize to fans who know the show better
That's
than we
part,
do
part of the fun.
But I don't have a memory of a conversation with someone who's like, do you remember when I brought you body parts and I sold them to you
guy?
For in my mind they're Transylvanian
it's Dracula it's
Transylvanian Dracula. Yeah absolutely by the way I'm Transylvanian so this is me dogging on my own people here.
What do they call it? Not in crowd joke. In group joke.
An insult. Joke. Okay. An in group joke. This is what we vampires say to each other all the time.
Can I? Yes.
So yeah.
I was
moving
along.
Me move.
Is that your first? Was that your first perp walk?
Yes, I will. On the show,
not in real. I'm not talking about life. I'm talking about acting.
No, it wasn't my first acting perp walk because I did an episode of L.A. Dragnet, starring Ethan Embry, and oh my God, I can't believe I just forgot his name. Ethan Embry and he's such a famous actor.
Wait, I always confuse Ethan Embry with Ethan.
Not Hawk. So the dad in. Who's the dad in Married with Children?
Ed O'Neill.
Yes. So it was starring Ed O'Neill and Ethan Embry. And now I feel terrible because Ed could not have been nicer. But I got perp walked. It was a wild audition. I was in LA for the first time in my life. I was testing for the Tarzan pilot. My agent called me and was like, they're casting this episode of Dick Wolf's new show. They're looking for the, you know, Chronicle of the Week or whatever. The audition's tomorrow morning. I was like, sure. So it's my first audition in LA.
Got it. She booked it.
I go in. It's Juan Campanella, who had not yet won his Academy Award for The Secrets in Their Eyes. But years later, when I was read The Colony pilot and was like, I have to be a part of this. And they said, we don't want you to even audition. We won't see anyone from Walking Dead for this because we want them to be totally different shows. I was able to secretly tape something and send it to Juan, and who was directing that pilot. And that was the reason I think I got that pilot, because Juan's like, no, I've worked with her.
See, there you go.
So it's that one of those. Just anyway, so I was perp walked
just
there.
Like, but just like you were saying before, like you work with these people and it comes, these relationships can come back around.
Yeah. And all of a sudden you're like, now he's got an Oscar. So perp walking. But there's so much more of it that happens in season two. And
did they actually, like, do you remember, did they actually cuff you?
I don't remember. It wouldn't have bothered me if they had, you know, like, I don't feel claustrophobic about that kind of thing.
So I was wondering, people are just faking it.
I probably back then would have been like, just do it for real.
Same.
Do you know what I mean?
Same.
Like that, because the idea of the where the camera's above it. I was like, none of that means anything to me. Just do it for real. There was an enormous amount of car vehicle stuff in this between Sucre and the motorcycle cop and the boys and Mahone. Yeah. It's a lot of shooting.
Yeah.
In cars. Because you shoot one direction, then you got to back
sometimes
up. Sometimes
I would think maybe in Texas
place,
you don't need to, because it's just a lot of
prairies.
But it's a challenge. Yeah. It can be a challenging way to shoot.
Especially because you've got to have the air conditioning off for sound, and it's 98 degrees Fahrenheit.
Which brings us to a sunglasses question.
Although, I love shooting with sunglasses.
A lot of times they really don't like it. I remember I had to fight for it in season one, and then it became kind of a big part of my character.
Yeah. It did. I got in trouble once for allowing an actor to wear sunglasses in a scene. Yeah. And they were like, he tries to do this every episode. We should have told you in prep that you have to be aware of this, but you know, they don't like it. And I was like, oh, I'm super sorry. I think it's cool.
I get why. I mean, I also think that things have changed. Yeah. Anyway, things have changed so much in how things are shot, you know. You can still get a sense of somebody without having to be up in their eyes the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've always been a fan that withholding a gaze from the audience and then landing it is powerful and interesting.
You mean
whereas
the old Caruso?
Even without sunglasses. Just like, I've never understood. There is often an instinct that shows up in television actors who've been at it for a while to whoever they're talking to. And it drives me a little bit nuts.
That's not how
because
we behave in real life. Yeah.
People don't do that. It's really weird, and it always feels false.
Often that was the way you were directed at the beginning of my career, certainly was. And also,
absolutely.
I think the technology has changed. Our TVs, like, even when we started, TVs were small.
Mm-hmm. And deep.
And deep.
They were the opposite of flat screens.
Meaning everything was shot, everything really had to play in a close-up. Everything really had to play in a close-up. You can see as I talk about technical things how good I am technically. Everything had to play in close-up because otherwise you couldn't see. And now on our huge TVs, you could play a medium.
In HD.
You can play a further away shot and still see the expression on someone's face.
Although, weirdly, people are now watching things on their phones,
which breaks
my heart. Like, every time I see somebody watching something on their phone on an airplane, I want to tap them on the shoulder and be like, hi, 200 people worked really hard on that, and you're killing all of us. I'm really grateful that you're engaging with our content, but you're also killing all of us.
That's tough.
So, I know it's rough.
That genie back in the bottle.
We should get to fan questions. Let's take a break and then come back from our break
right
do some fan questions.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Here are some fan questions you were all kind enough to drop in the comments on our Instagram, which is at Prison Break Podcast.
Wait, can I ask you one? Because this is what, yes. This is one of my favorite questions, and it's for you. At Claw XRA for Paul. Some of this we already covered, but the last part of it I just think is such an endearing, wonderful question. How different was it to interpret Lance compared to Kellerman and his other characters slash personalities? Some of the features that charmed Sarah belonged to Kellerman himself. Does it make you believe that in another reality where he didn't go as far as torturing her, they could be good friends? I love that question.
Good friends?
So much.
I don't know.
If you hadn't tortured
I will
her.
Say this. I think that Kellerman has... in season two, a lot of epiphanies about where his own life has taken him and where he may have made some wrong turns. I think that one of the reasons why he had not such a hard time charming Sarah is because he genuinely respects and likes Sarah. I think that he... sees a kindred spirit in someone who does some extrajudicial shit that they believe in, and I think he respects her as a doctor and an ideologue. So I would say, I think that they could have liked one another had he not tortured her.
And had he not tortured
her.
It's such an amazing. There were actually several. Questions that I did not see coming that I hadn't, and these are sort of more generally in the season, but about like, did Kellerman have feelings for her? And that was wild to me because, I'm trying to find.
Interesting.
Because that one never crossed my mind, and I don't remember us ever having a conversation about that, that this was all a purely professional torturing.
I think that was Kellerman's really. Thing was right trying to keep this it's not personal, it's just professional, but I feel like, and we'll get to it, it's not the next episode, but down the line when he actually does torture her, that Utanis directed that episode, it wasn't easy for him, and that really pissed him off. I mean, there's a whole thing in the bedroom where he's like, he doesn't want to have to do this. And he's mad. He's like, mad at you.
Right.
Because you're
bringing out a humanity.
Mad at you for not complying to the information I wanted. because now I have to fuck. Like, he says, right. And now you're going to die. Like, God damn it. Don't make me do this kind of thing.
Right. Right.
Wan Xuan Wang, I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong, at YANXUAN_WENG asks, were there any unscripted moments that were kept in the show? Sarah, do you recall?
I'm crap at this. I do remember there was a photo that got used over and over and over and still is. That was not a photo from the show. It was a photo from rehearsal. And it was interesting because it became kind of iconic between Michael and Sarah, but we never, it was not a scene. So we were rehearsing. It's a scene where they come back together for the first time since the breakout. I don't remember when it is, but it's in the first half of the second season.
Okay.
No. Because before, we'll get there, but it's before all the torture stuff. They meet up, and if my memory serves, Wentworth had worked on some of his lines, and so I got there, and I was like, okay, let me work on some responses, and so we were like, give us a second to run these lines to really get them into our bones before we start shooting, and we were running them, and I remember being hot, and I put my arms up on Wentworth's shoulders, and we're just running lines and talking. And then I don't think I even noticed that anybody was taking a picture. But in the scene, they don't touch. She never puts her hands on him like that. And it was interesting because I see that photo a lot when it comes to the sort of Michael Sarah season two of it all. But it wasn't, we weren't even rehearsing the scene. Wow, we were just so drilling funny lines.
There's so one that in the torture was, sequence all, that was, that's a funny story that I kind of feel like Utanis screwed me on purpose, which is okay. It's okay. I get what he was doing, which we'll get to when we get there. I don't want to spoil it. And then I will say that with some of the Lance stuff, there were things that I added for sure.
Oh,
and definitely,
yeah.
I mean, memorably, I remember saying, my name is Lance.
Pinch a crack.
Lance and not, and I'm not an addict. I made up.
Yep. But I think, didn't you even do pinch a crack, dollop a smack? I feel
Was
that scripted? I got to find my season two scripts.
There was a thing I did in the pie scene that was not scripted that I did try to do as an inside joke for my fiance at the time, which made it in. It was a line reading. It wasn't. The line itself, yeah.
The line itself.
It was a high pitched. Okay. Now that's good pie. Do you know what that's? It was from.
Mr. Hanky, the Christmas Pooh.
It was from South Park.
From South Park.
I'm a towel. You're a towel.
Yeah, Mr. Hanky.
You're a towel.
Oh, it's Towley. I was thinking, howdy ho, boys and girls.
Doing the voice. Yes.
It's Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh. Yeah, for sure. Okay, I've got another question for you before we do our sign off here. I want to, because you're really good at this. You're the music guy. Your light keeps falling, and obviously you're not a lighting guy, but you're a music guy. So at Danny_Bittencourt19 asks, if you could choose a theme song for Sarah and Michael, which song would it be and why? Which is kind of cool. And I also then want to challenge you with a theme song for Kellerman
and Sarah. Michael has to be Faith, doesn't it? You got to have Faith.
Like George Michael?
I mean, wasn't that your... That was like your guys' kind of catchphrase.
Oh, that's just really sweet. Just have a little faith. Or is that Michael and Lincoln? Because my camera's freaking out. Or is that Michael and Lincoln? Because it starts with the just have a little faith between the two of them. But it does quickly migrate.
But
the
George Michael faith is pretty sexual. Yeah, so that's
definitely sexual. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Probably not about touch your body with brothers. Okay, okay, I'll go with that one.
There's a what is the other faith song I'm thinking of? I don't remember. And then Kellerman and Sarah. I'm thinking of torture.
That's an interesting
songs,
prompt, hey?
Friends, torture,
right?
Something like that.
Tortured Poets Department.
What is that? Oh, that's T Swift. Is that?
That's Taylor Swift album. But I can't actually name a song on it. That would be funny, actually, if Sarah and Kellerman's theme song was Taylor Swift.
At Herbert.Raphael, Raphael, R-A-F-A-E-L-L. Do you think Sarah actually believed Michael had just used her to open the door at any point in season two? Or had she always known that she meant something more to him and was being manipulated by the cops to think otherwise? And I'm sure this is something that even during season one went back and forth for Sarah, questioning his motives. But at this point, let's say a few episodes in, she had the accidental overdose.
Yeah.
Her father's pressuring her. She's going to her meetings. Where is she on the Michael of it all at this point, do you think?
I think 100% I was used. 100%. I don't think, even though there's that swan that says there's a plan to make all of this right or whatever, like, I think to prioritize your health and your recovery, you have to go, this guy's out of my life. Because also, he's a felon.
And he put you in this situation.
The run. Like, he's either.
Yeah.
And he ruined my life. I mean, let me put it this way. He's somebody who, no matter how he may have felt about me, was willing to ruin my life to get what he wanted. And don't run towards those guys. Yeah,
he said,
this is my advice to anybody out here. Don't run towards those people. Sent me very far back and could have, you know, I mean, the big question mark, of course, is he didn't know that I was an addict and so probably couldn't have predicted the relapse or anything. Well, that's on me, not him. And quite frankly, I think the big book would say, take responsibility for your relapses. Don't put them on anybody else.
Also, don't put a lot of
faith
right? I mean, that's a toxic relationship.
These aren't people who are
literally
and figuratively. Literally and figuratively. Absolutely. Okay, so these are great questions. We'll keep chipping away. You guys keep sending.
That's all we got time for today.
I think it is. But thanks for the questions. Thanks for being here. Don't forget, you can subscribe to our watch party, which is a lot of fun. And it also gives you access to the Discord community, which is really
freaking
beautiful. These folks are great. And Fan Fiction Friday. And that's all available on Patreon, which is available in the link to the show on the link in the show page wherever you're listening right now. And here's our call-in question for the week, because we have an actual call-in line that you can use the telephone.
Ooh.
If you were sent to prison,
ooh,
what job would you want at Fox River? Would you want to be in the laundry with Manche? Would you want to be in the kitchen? Would you want to be on the landscaping crew, prison library, whatever? How are you going to earn your 19 cents an hour or whatever? And then what are you saving up to buy at the prison canteen? So our call-in line is 4013-P-BREAK, B-R-E-A-K. And we'll play our favorites in a special episode.
And finally, our wrap-up question. This whole season, we'll ask all our guests and anybody else who comes our way, if you were fleeing the law, where would you go and why? I answered this in episode one. Sarah, now it's your turn.
Yeah, and I knew this was coming, and I should have prepared something. Where would I go and why? I do love the sunny beach plan. I'm tempted to say, I mean, the Bahamas probably doesn't have much of an extradition thing, and I do have a good friend who lives there. I do prefer a more tropical situation. The Bahamas didn't have a whole lot in the way of, like, trees and stuff. So maybe New Zealand. Yeah. I'd go to the South Island of New Zealand because it's gorgeous. And I feel like you could hide out there. And Jacinda Ardern is amazing. And maybe she'd let me
now the authorities we're going to comb through this podcast.
They're
going to know exactly where you're going. Maybe she's lying and she'll actually be in the mountains of Alaska.
She'll be dead, though. Okay. I have no mountain Alaska survival skills.
Thank you for listening.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
Subscribe to the Watch Party episodes on Patreon, the link to which is on the show page, wherever you're listening to right now. Hit us with the call and questions of the week. Again, that's 4013-P-BREAK. Drop us your questions at Prison Break Podcast on Instagram. And we'll see you next week. Yeah.
Thanks for being here. All right. Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul is a Caliber Studio production.
Your hosts have been inmates Sarah Wayne Callis and Paul Edelstein.
Our prison warden is producer Ben Haber. The frontman of our jailhouse rock band is the one and only Paul Edelstein, who made all of our music.
And Prison Yard tattoo artist, logo brand designers John Nunziato and Little Big Brands. Check him out at www.littlebigbrands.com.
Find us on Instagram at Prison Break Podcast. Email us at pbpodcast@caliber-studio.com or call us at 401-3PBREAK.
Prison Breaking and Sarah and Paul has been a Caliber Studio Productions. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. MSRP. Taxes entitled not
taxes for... Taxes are failing your pie.
Exactly. Bye, guys.
Void in the state of California.
Void but prohibited.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue, the $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal, each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.